Good evening, or at least hot evening. I greatly appreciate everybody being here today. I know you don't want to hear when people say it's too hot, we can't make it to church, because you're here. Anyway, we're going to continue our study on the journey of Jesus. And today, we're going to look at the account of him raising Lazarus from the dead. One thing that's not in the scriptures, I think he died of heat stroke. And he was in Las Vegas and got over hot, and Jesus raised him. Now, in John 11, we see an account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We are familiar with this account. I don't want us to take it too lightly, though. This is not something that occurs on a regular basis. We are very well familiar with it from our study of the Bible. But when we look back at the things that Jesus did, the walking on the water, Peter walking on the water, healing a man that had been born blind, healing a man that had been crippled for 38 years. These are not something that your sniffles got a little bit better 3 days later. And yeah, I know it's easy for me to take a story that we're familiar with, an account, and maybe just kind of take it for granted. This is a major event. This is not one of those things that was taken lightly. Now, one of the things I'd like for us to do is look at a couple of scriptures first before we get in to John 11. At the end of John, after Jesus had himself been resurrected, it says in verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. That's for everybody that will come after Jesus talking to Thomas. That's us today. We did not physically see the risen Savior. We physically did not see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. But we believe it. At the end of John, in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the Apostle John wrote, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We're going to see verse 31 in real time that many believed because of what he does with Lazarus. And the Apostle Peter would write many years later, he said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." This account with Lazarus is one of those settings that Peter himself was an eyewitness. Let's get into John 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. These are not strangers to Jesus. In many other accounts, we see where Jesus dines in their home, teaches in their home. They were well acquainted with Jesus. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." This is setting the stage. Even though Jesus could and would have done this event for a stranger, he healed people he never knew, that he had never met, healed relatives of people that brought their loved ones to him. This was somebody that he was well acquainted with. And he gets word, "Lord, he whom you love is sick." And he would have known who that was very good. When Jesus heard that, he said, "Let's get up and go. I gotta hurry and get there." He says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Same, almost the same thing that Jesus said in John 9 when he healed the man that had been born blind. When his disciples asked him, "Hey, Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind?" And he says, "Neither, but that the glory of God may be proclaimed." And same thing in this situation. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. That's hard for us to imagine. A loved one of mine, a dear friend of mine, they need me. I would have been there as fast as I could have. But this is all part of God's plan. The man Jesus probably wanted, and I'm doing something I don't like to do, reading in. I'm assuming the man Jesus wanted to get there as soon as he could, to be with his friend, to comfort him. But that God's will be carried out, he put his feelings aside. Stayed there 2 more days where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Using specific terminology here, Jesus knows it's not final. He's referring to this man that had died as sleeping. "And I'm going to go wake him up." None of you knew my mom. My mom had that kind of sleep of the dead. It would have taken Jesus to wake her up. But Jesus is saying he's only asleep. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. How many times are they thinking one thing and Jesus is saying another? Here's another example. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They realized just how severe this situation was, that he had been threatened. They had tried to stone Jesus before. He'd gotten out of there okay. And now he's going back. And Thomas says, well, if he's going to go, we better go too. We might as well all die together. You know, all for one and one for all type attitude. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. This is something we totally get. A friend of ours has a loved one that passes, and we gather around them just to be there sometimes. Nothing they could do. They were there to comfort Mary and Martha. We get that. That sometimes just being there makes all the difference in the world. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, look, first thing she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That's a great example of faith, a great example of the faith that she had in Jesus. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. She had that much confidence in him. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. What comforting words. She, like the disciples, are kind of missing the point, though. She said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That statement right there, isn't that one of the pivotal, foundational beliefs of why we're here today? The fact that we believe and know that we will have eternal life because of that belief. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is not saying that he would never die a physical death. You will live eternally. You will live with me in eternity. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Look at the people that we have looked at so far in this series of studies that have made this great proclamation. This is the same statement that Peter made when they were in Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And it was Peter that winds up saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We will see later that the centurion at the cross, after seeing all the things that happened to Jesus on the cross, that he will look up and make the statement, truly, this was the Son of God. Martha, these are not the religious leaders, movers, and shakers. They got it. These were people that saw the works of Jesus, and according to John 20, those are the reasons why Jesus did the things he did, that you may believe, and that by believing you'll have eternal life. Martha got it. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Comforting words to Mary when Martha comes, the Christ is here and he's wanting you. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. How many times do we get the first impression wrong? We assume sometimes when an event happens, the motive of somebody or why somebody did this, we just naturally think of a reason. Sometimes we're wrong. These people were wrong. They thought she was going to the tomb. She's going to see Jesus. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know if it's just that they were sisters and close, that they thought alike, or if they had discussed this. It's exactly the same thing Martha had said. That this must have been on both of their minds. And she was confident that had Jesus been there, this whole situation would not be occurring. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. In this passage of this event, we see Jesus 100% man. He's weeping over the loss of a friend of his, a dear friend, the brother of two of his dear friends. He's hurting for them. We see Jesus as 100% man. We also see him as 100% God when he's going to raise Lazarus. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? They were aware. because of the things Jesus had done in the presence of witnesses, they were aware he wouldn't have died had Jesus been there. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. The scriptures don't say it, but it makes me wonder if Jesus, God, who knew all things, is thinking ahead of what he's going to suffer, that he will be dead as a doornail in a tomb hewn out of a rock with a stone in front of it. I do not know if that went through Jesus' mind. But Jesus, 100% God, would have known. His whole mission was coming together with his life here on earth. And he knew the outcome. Verse 39, Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." She was aware that Jesus can do whatever he can do, but she's also aware human nature. The facts of life that God created in this world, that by 4 days, there's going to be a smell. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me." Not in preparing for this lesson, but many years ago, that phrase, when I read it, stuck with me. Jesus thanks God for hearing his prayers. Thanks God. Sometimes it's hard for me, it's hard for me to sometimes get past that in my prayers. Thank you, God, for hearing me. The creator of all has my undivided attention. I've got his undivided attention when I pray to him. He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." This is bigger than just Lazarus. This situation with Lazarus was for the purpose of glorifying God. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I heard a preacher once explaining this, that most of the tombs held multiple bodies. And instead of just saying, "Come forth," and everybody in there coming out, that he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Don't know if that's the situation or not. It might have been a private tomb. I don't know. But he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go. The seventh grade boy of me sees the humor in this. He's all bound up. And Stacy's back there nodding to Diane. Yes, he is. He's got a seventh grade boy's humor. I picture Lazarus. He's all bound up. You know, kind of coming out, obeying Jesus the best he can, but walking like a penguin, you know, to get out there. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. That was the result Jesus wanted. That was the result. He could have come earlier and not gone through all this stuff and just healed Lazarus from being sick. This was the purpose. When we're in the midst of a heartache like a loved one dying, or anything that you fill in the blank, when we're in the midst of it, we need to remember, how can we glorify God through this? It's bigger than us. How can we glorify God? And many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. I don't know how anybody could have witnessed what everybody else saw, and some would have been just awestruck. And the result was they believed in Jesus. Others, they're running off, tattling to the Pharisees. That was the result that event had on them. In verse 53, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. You talk about hard-hearted individuals. And these Pharisees, they are the ones that should have seen him for who he was. They're the ones with all of that religious knowledge. Mary and Martha knew who he was. Peter knew who he was. Thomas knew who he was. John knew who he was. These are just average people. But the religious leaders of the day that should have seen. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death because he infringed on them. He infringed on their power, their pride, their status. Verse 57. Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him. They're given a reward. I think I remember somebody getting 30 pieces of silver when they reported and turned him over. This in John 11, a few takeaways as we close up. Jesus delayed for a purpose. He could have gotten there and not gone through all of this, but there was a bigger picture in the plan. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. This is not something that, oh, he got better from his cold, or, oh, he just passed out. He revived. No. He had been dead. They wrapped him up, put him in a tomb. It's not something he was going to recover from. It showed the glory of God and the power of Jesus. And we see average people like Mary and Martha having and displaying their faith in Jesus. While many believed, others hated him for it. One short chapter, a number of takeaways. We're going to end up now. If there's anybody here that needs to respond to the invitation, please come forward as Sam leads us in the invitation, and we will address your needs. Thank you for your attention. I don't know how hot it is, but thank you for putting up with it. Let's stand and sing. You okay there, Sam?
Yeah.
Or do you want to move it?